5. Loading. 4.
Into Sheringham. And Solskjaer is winning.
3. Almost there. 2.
Cross. And Dempsey's tonight again. And Donovan has scored. Oh, can you believe this?
1. Here we go. Now. Introducing Sunday League Finest Podcast with your host, David Donis and Roberto O.B. Hernandez.
Welcome in, everybody, to a very special edition of Sunday League's Finest. It's a little bit special because me and David are sitting right next to each other. We're here live in person. David, tell everybody what's up and how excited you are.
Yeah, I don't know if it's that special because I'm tired of O.B. Taking up space in my house. But I'm messing, y'all. It's awesome, man. Obi's finally here. I get to use his nice big ass mic that's way bigger than mine. So he's compensating for something for sure.
Yeah, that's for sure. I am giving David and Amanda a bad review on Yelp. It hasn't been going too well, but no, just kidding. We had a great time. We actually enjoyed a little vacation in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. A little bit colder than we expected, but nonetheless, great time, David. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, we still got in the ocean, so we were crazy getting in there with all the rest of the white people. But Obi's enjoying it. He's shocked at how many white people he sees around, and black people for that matter. But it's been great. We saw some family, we hung out, drank a lot, watched a lot of soccer, watched some UFC, had some great fights, ate a lot of pizza, had some acid reflux, but it was a great trip.
I mean, and by drinking a lot, we just stayed hydrated, yeah, water the entire time. But yeah, it's definitely good. Played a lot of games. It was great. We actually got to see, you know, the Atlanta United game and Galaxy game live together. So I got to talk crap about Brad Guzan live right next to him. But it was a good weekend. So overall, it was great.
Yeah, and a funny thing, and I'll go through talk about this when we go into the MLS roundup. But Galaxy played first, so obviously they won. So Obi just chilling, happy, on a high. I'm over here watching the Atlanta United game, pissed, stressed, sweating bullets while he gets to chill. So I'm sure it was nice for him to watch me, but at least I finally got the payoff in the end.
Yeah, it's definitely good. I mean, David, we already know each other's weekend. They heard a little bit about it. If you don't mind, let's go into Atlanta United a little bit. It's time for MLS Roundup.
It's time for MLS Roundup.
Yeah, man. I'll start with Atlanta United, baby. this is the beautiful game at its finest. Open stadium for the first time since COVID. Full capacity, 40,000 Atlanta fans made it out to Mercedes-Benz. So to see that was amazing.
It's crazy to me, dude. 40,000, because like Dana White actually said about Dana White's the president of the UFC. It's like he doesn't know what's going to happen because there's still big hotels in like New York that are closed, and California's a little bit more shut down. So like definitely it's been a wide opening, like eye opening experience for myself coming down here to the South and just seeing how more flexible and open they are. Right. And, you know, Galaxy, I think we had 6,000 to 7,000 at our games. And now it's like, of course, Atlanta United always have some of the biggest crowds, but now even a bigger margin because the rest of the stadiums can only have like 5,000. So pretty crazy.
Yeah, we ain't scared over here. And just to piggyback on what Obi said, we watched the Seattle LAFC game last night, and Seattle obviously plays in a football stadium, and they still, I think, had about 8,000 people in that stadium. So to have that, and then you compare it to what Atlanta United did, it is pretty crazy when you see the comparisons.
Yeah, and like David mentioned earlier, obviously we got to watch the Galaxy game earlier because they played at their earlier time slot. But David's butthole was clenched the entire Atlanta United game. Him and his... can you admit, did you lose hope a little bit in that game?
Have you seen Atlanta United play recently? We don't score a lot of goals, and we don't score them late. It was a frustrating game for a lot of the time because, again, Atlanta United with a lot of possession, but not doing much with it, not threatening the way they should be. There were just too many negative passes. And, you know, I talk about this with Obi because he likes to crap on Brad Guzan, but he's being asked a lot because we play the ball back to him so much. But the real question is, he doesn't need to be touching the ball that much in a game. We need people to be riskier. Obviously, be smart. You know, don't, you know, do something stupid and lose it in our in our defensive third. But there were just a lot of opportunities where the center backs could have pushed forward, or you could have took the space, be more aggressive, and they were just way too predictable, moving side to side, passing back. So all those possession numbers, a lot of that is in our defensive third and not in the middle or final third. But anyways, all that, we got the relief in the 93rd minute when you got Jake Mulroney came in. Bello kind of sets him up. Jake Mulroney dribbles, gets a beautiful cross in, and who else but our DP that I shit on last week, Moreno, scores a beautiful header right in the corner. Nothing the keeper could do about it. Obi's favorite keeper, Diop.
Yeah, Clement Diop. As a person, great guy. As a goalkeeper, longtime Galaxy goalkeeper, I didn't think he was up to par, up to that level. But yeah, he got scored on. And David, it's a funny story because, remember, I called it. And around the 87th minute, I said, hey, Atlanta United is going to get the game win in the 93rd minute. Now, I did get the player wrong. I thought Bello was going to score. But either way, it came at the 93rd minute. Yeah. And, man, David and Nick, his brother Nicholas, were jumping up so much that I thought there was an earthquake going on. They were going berserk. You know, I got a little bit excited for them, too. It was good. You know, we talk crap, but when I'm right there in person, I don't want them to lose unless they're playing the Galaxy.
All three of us were gay for like 2 minutes.
Man, yeah, that's for sure. I felt like I didn't go through puberty for a little bit.
No, but it was just an awesome payoff. And thank God we won because we really needed those 3 points at home against Montreal. And you know, Montreal played well too, so they're not a slouch of a team either. So it was just awesome.
Yeah, it's good. To kind of stay on Atlanta United, since we're on them already, you know, your technical director Carlos Bocanegra, who is a U.S. men's national team great, has done a lot of good things with Atlanta United, but in recent times as well has seemed to struggle. So there's an article that was released, right, that kind of went a little bit more in depth. Can you touch on that?
Yeah, so the Athletic released an article, and it pretty much brought to light a lot of these things that a lot of folks didn't know, that apparently there were a lot of issues with Bocanegra, specifically, man, I can't talk today.
We can't speak English very well, yeah. If you haven't noticed.
Him and we're Latinos. We can't pronounce our ESL English words. Classes. Yeah, yes. Training sessions and the planning, and he really didn't communicate with Carlos anymore. It was straight with Darren Eels, who's the president of Atlanta United, and a lot. So there was a riff with him and Tata, which you know, who knows what's going on there. But you want your front office and obviously your coach to be on the same page. And then apparently, even before Tata, Atlanta United had interviewed Bielsa. Man, I can never pronounce
Bielsa.
That. Bielsa. There we go. I have to hear it first, and apparently, he got turned down, but there was never a call returned, and that was for Carlos to do. And Bielsa, I can't
Bielsa.
Say it, man.
That's right, tongue twister, Bielsa.
Said that don't ever call him again.
That's interesting, because imagine if Marcelo Bielsa goes to Atlanta United. I think it's a whole nother game change. I know Tata Martino did very, very well, but I think Bielsa's on another level. I think, personally, what he's done with Leeds United, he could have had maybe 2-3 MLS Cups here, you know, in the first opening years. I think that's crazy to hear that there was a little bit of feud between your technical director and the head coach, just walking into that hostile environment. So that could be kind of the whole reason why, you know, Tata even left at the end.
Right. And yeah, you know, when you're that coach at that level, you know, coaches talk, so he can tell people what it's like to go to Atlanta United. So it's not a good look for the club, obviously. And even some more revelations is that Nagby, when he first came, they had given a date of when his contract would be renewed, and it went past that date, and that's played a part in Nagby going back to Columbus. He had said he wanted to be close to family, but apparently this obviously puts a different spin on it. And then same thing with Frank DeBoer. I gave Frank DeBoer a lot of crap, and some of it rightfully so, but he was not really informed or had decisions in personnel hire. So obviously, if you're trying to implement a system, you really need to be involved in that aspect. So that's all those things are really not looking good for Carlos. And obviously, this is his first time as a technical director. But yeah, not a good look. I think a lot of folks are mad. Some people calling for his head. To me, you know, for me, he's like on two strikes. And obviously, it'd be different if we didn't do the things we did in the offseason. But obviously, we got Heinze as a coach. We're trying to play more attacking style soccer. But again, Carlos in some hot water. And again, just to kind of do both sides, this article was from folks that were upset and dissatisfied. So it really is one-sided. And Carlos has chosen not to say anything about it.
That's interesting. It could go one or two or two ways, right? Where it's he's not saying anything about it because there's no truth to it, or he's not, you know, saying anything about it because he kind of, you know, he knows there's truth and he doesn't want to come out and admit his fault. So it's interesting to see Atlanta United, this quote big club unquote, is not all great, not all shiny as it is on the outside, dude.
Don't make me hit you.
Oh, here we go. Hey, now we can actually fight in person. So if you hear a little bit of a rumble, we're going out of here.
Bielsa.
There we go. There we go. All right. Now time for the biggest club in the MLS. LA Galaxy. Oh, get out of here, dude. LA Galaxy, man. As we mentioned, we were able to watch the game 2-0. Honestly, it looked like a great performance. Obviously, Chicharito missed a PK when we were at 0-0, which was really, really harsh. But Galaxy was just creating a lot of chances, you know, a lot of chances. Goal. Legette got the first goal. And then our third DP, Kevin Cabral, came in and made his debut. That was pretty cool. He actually scored, but was offside and would have been assisted by Chicharito. Was pretty cool, Chicharito. Too. That would have been the storybook debut for him, right? One DP to another. But overall, I think the biggest takeaway is we earned our first ever clean sheet under Greg Vanney. I think it's pretty impressive. I always said that this season, although we got scored on, our defensive shape just looked a lot better than it has in the past. We haven't been giving up as many clear chances. And I mean, even in this game, I don't remember like any huge errors or big time saves that Jonathan Bond had to come up with.
Yeah, I think Austin FC had like one really good chance, and the rest have been, you know, half chances. Galaxy really looked threatening going forward. They got themselves in the final third in the 18 multiple times, and you know, they just outplayed Austin. So Galaxy's looking good.
Yeah, as always, dude. No, I'm just kidding, but we're looking good, coming out strong.
You know who is really looking good, man?
Who?
The Sounders, bro.
Seattle
Sounders.
Brian Schmelter, man. That truly is a legend in the making right now. I mean, this guy came out of nowhere. But I'm gaining a big level of respect.
He's in love.
I am. I'm falling in love, guys. Falling in love. I don't need to create my Bumble account anymore.
But yeah, man, and it's funny because Seattle pulled an LA double. They beat LAFC and LA Galaxy, and in style, man. Their games weren't even close.
Yeah.
So man, they were just on a tear, and now I'm scared because guess who they play next? Atlanta United, bro.
Well, and they did it without, obviously, Jordan Morris is out. They did it without Stephen Fry, who's injured, and then they did it without Nicolas Lodero. So I mean, that's key players to their roster, and they're still tearing it up, top of the table right now. It's insane. They look like a threat this year, or they look like a threat every year, but now it looks a little bit more threatening than usual. So Seattle and Brian Schmelter, hats off to them. Well done. And I mean,
that's why everybody gives Seattle. It's hard to hate on Seattle. I know Portland is going to like be yelling at us right now, but I mean, you got to give respect to that, to for them to do what they're doing without the players, and for so long, I mean, they're always contending, and I can't remember the last time they missed the playoffs.
Yeah, that's true. I don't think they've ever missed a playoff since coming into the MLS. Yeah. And on the flip end, LAFC,
they're like,
they gotta be mid table. You know, these guys are the ones who created soccer culture here in the U.S. You know, they're the ones that decided the supporter shield is more important than the MLS Cup. So they gotta be at the mid or high table. Can you double check that real quick?
Survey says they are in last place in the West.
Boom. Last place, LAFC. I said it before, when they're going to start to have trouble. I don't know if this is a troublesome season, but are their fans going to start to drop away?
Well, that was what folks were saying about Atlanta United. So the same thing was said. And then, you know, that Frank DeBoer season, obviously we still won the Campeones Cup and the U.S. Open Cup. But a lot of fans were mad the way we were playing. We got knocked out of the playoffs, still made them. So obviously you wouldn't say a bad season, but there wasn't really a drop off of any fans. And obviously with 2020, even though we had a bad season, you can't really tell because of COVID. But it seems like that's not going to happen with Atlanta United. With LAFC, now you have the test. I don't know when they're going to start opening things up in LA. It might be like 5 years from now. so let's see if we'll be able to tell. And we might be reading into it too early because we talked about Minnesota. How they were doing bad, and then they went ahead and won. And they went ahead and won two games. And
exactly what I said. I said if Adrian Heath wins two games, they're out of the hot seat. And he said, "All right, he listened to me. He went out and won two games."
He's like, "You know what? I'm just gonna go win. I'm tired of this." but so we'll see. Like I don't know. We might be the opposite. We say something. LAFC ends up winning, but they don't look like the team of old. They're not. High flying attack. Carlos Vela has been kept quiet. Obviously, he's been injured. And not only that, you know, we talked about that they lost Zimmerman, and their defense is not good either. So if you're not LAFC, you're built to score a lot of goals because you know your defense is going to give up goals. So if you're not scoring, you are in trouble.
Yeah, and I think that's a big component. Zimmerman, just like we talked about in the Atlanta United game, he's a player that used to get the ball and drive forward, right? To create these chances, he would drive forward, cause the midfielder or the attackers to come out of their shape, and then they would find gaps in between. When you don't have that center back doing that offensively, it takes away from the attack. Some of the greatest center backs in the world, right? Sergio Ramos, Piqué, Laporte, or Ruben Diaz, they drive the ball forward, you know, even Virgil van Dijk. And then on the flip side, obviously, counterattacks. They're getting torn apart right now. Yeah. Seattle showed it. Could have been a couple more goals last night. But overall, we could be reading into it, especially because I'm biased. But they're definitely not the LAFC that you're used to.
Yeah, and obviously it's early in the season. Things can and MLS can change dramatically. But, you know, Bob Bradley's got to be feeling a little bit hot around the collar right now.
Yeah, no, definitely, definitely. Another... You know, American legend, Bruce Arena. You know, he's doing great stuff with New England Revolution. Say what you want about the guy. He's the most winningest coach in the MLS and is doing well with New England Revolution. Even beat Columbus Crew with Caleb Porter.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, we saw a video of Bruce Arena for one of his sessions. He said, "Hey, guys, just go play soccer." And that's all he said. No direction, no tactics. But, you know, it's a joke, but not really, because that's kind of been Bruce's approach. A very laissez-faire approach to coaching, and their players have said things like he doesn't know anything about soccer and he does stuff, but I mean, they're sitting at the top of the East with 11 points, so what can you say about it? He gets the job done, and that's, at the end of the day, it's just like a score and a goal, right? It doesn't matter if you score with your stomach, your thigh, your toe poke, your little tootsie roll. As long as the ball goes in the net, that's all that matters. So as long as you win the games, as Jose Mourinho says, it's all that matters is winning.
It's all that matters, and Bruce Arena may not be an attractive style, but he's getting it done, and he continues to show it with a team like New England Revolution that, I mean, let's face it, especially in recent years, they haven't been known to be one of the best teams in the MLS, right? Or even a good team in the MLS. So
exactly.
It's definitely interesting. Now, kind of going over to counterparts here, David, something big happened over the weekend. I think a new stadium opened. Can you touch on that?
FC Cincinnati opened their outside with the colors. And what stadium did you say it looked like?
It looks like the Juventus and the Bayern Munich were in the Allegiant Stadium.
Oh, the Allianz.
Yeah, Allianz Stadium. They kind of have the light up type stadium on the outside too, so it's definitely, you know, they got to do that on the outside because inside there's nothing going on.
And you know, what Obi means by that is FC Cincinnati. I talked about Minnesota and saying FC Cincinnati was saved from being the dud last week because they had 1 point and a game less than Minnesota, but now Minnesota won and they continue to lose. They have 1 point. And, you know, even that new stadium couldn't help them win. But it is a beautiful stadium. You love to see soccer-specific stadiums. I get a little jelly sometimes because, you know, we play in a football stadium. I still love it, but obviously nothing beats playing in grass, and you have that intimate atmosphere as well. It's a 26,000-seat stadium, so that's pretty big for, you know, soccer standards for MLS. Most of them, like Sporting Kansas City, even Austin FC, I think is like 22. And then my, I just, right here, I got some breaking news that TQL starts for Total Quality Logistics.
Basically, they provide domestic and international freight transportation. So it's an interesting one. We're getting sponsorships from all over the place, you know, that you wouldn't expect.
Yeah, and we're also looking for sponsorships right now. Right now, we just have Trojan, and we'd like to up our game a little bit.
Yeah, and we only got the Fire and Ice one at that. So we're definitely looking for sponsorships. You know, maybe you sponsor a move. If you like this show where me and David are back and forth a little bit more and you want me to move to Georgia, well, give us a little bit of an income, you know?
Yeah, Obi's contemplating just dropping all his job responsibilities and making this his full-time job.
Full-time job here. But yeah, I think it's interesting, you know, going with that stadium. They do have that standing room only for the supporter section. And theirs, it kind of does look a little bit closer to the field. It could just be the video. But what do you think about, you know, kind of all these new stadiums going with that standing room only?
I love it. I love it. Yeah, it's been a trend now where the supporters section, they've taken out the regular chairs, or at least they can fold up. So the whole supporters group is standing, which is, I think, awesome, because now you don't have to have, well, it probably still happens, but when you're in non-supporter section and people are standing up, it's pretty annoying.
Especially when you're 6'6".
Yeah. So it's great to have that, because I think it just adds to the atmosphere, and I believe it's something they've been doing in Europe and South America forever. So we're just late to the game, and it looks like that's going to be the trend going forward, so I like it.
Yeah, I mean, going to switch gears a little bit, going into the NWSL. You know, you mentioned Portland Timbers going to hate you. Well, their counterparts, Portland Thorns, you know, as you know, they won the Challenge Cup this year against our beloved Gotham FC. Well, Portland Thorns and Gotham FC were the only two teams to win in the NWSL season opener this weekend. So it's pretty crazy that the two teams that made it to the final were the only ones that ended up winning this weekend. You know, there were a couple draws, but yeah, as of right now, there's only two winners. Actually, many, many draws by the look of it.
Oh, yeah, because you... Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you had two wins, so obviously you had two losers. Sorry, I don't do math so well.
Yeah. But it's good to see Portland Thorns had fans inside the stadium, which is always good to see. I think Gotham FC may take a little bit longer being in New York, New Jersey, but I did see they had a lot of TIFOs up throughout the stadium, so it's pretty good. Hope they continue and pay attention to their season as it goes along. Again, it's on CBS Sports Network or Paramount Network. Make sure you guys pay for that Paramount Plus or the CBS Sports Network channel.
Don't steal it.
Don't steal, guys. We don't condone piracy. All right, now time for David's favorite genre. Go ahead, David. Take it away.
Americans abroad. We got some recent news, and we just talked about them, and hopefully he helps. Jeff Cameron to FC Cincinnati. Obviously, he's a U.S. men's defender. And honestly, I had no idea what he'd been doing up until this point.
I know. That's what I was just about to ask you, is that it was Jeff Cameron. I think under Klinsmann, he played a little bit of center back. And I really enjoyed him at that role. And it was a little bit of a shock when, like we said, he kind of fell out of the U.S. men's national team picture. But it looks like he's been in Queen's Park Rangers, you know, kind of quietly making a splash over there in England. And now he's coming home. It's time to come home and make an impact with FC Cincinnati, which is fairly interesting. Where are they going to play him at that? Because FC Cincinnati... he's been struggling at defense. Do you think he's going to come over as a center back or to his natural position of a center defensive mid?
Yeah, I mean, I would think center back with their struggles, because this past weekend they lost 3-2. So obviously the goals weren't really the issue. But, you know, it is going to be interesting to see how many MLS teams start really going after defensive players, because I feel like that's really what MLS is missing, is that quality at the back. We have the quality going up front, but I think that's where we have the biggest gap between us and Mexico and Liga MX.
Yeah, I agree. I think a lot of those DP slots need to start going to some defensive players. You know, for example, when Galaxy brought Zlatan, if you bring somebody like Otamendi or Piqué, you know, these type of players, you go out and you invest a lot of money into them. Well, I'm not going to say that Zlatan's not going to have an effect because he's Zlatan, but he's going to minimize that effect, right? And especially, you know, a lot of these young South Americans that are coming over, if you bring quality, experienced center backs against them, they'll be able to slow them down a little bit rather than compare to these guys and that we have currently. And I think not only that, the whole level of defense just gets better and better because they start to grow and learn from these type of players, just like we've seen the attacking side grow tremendously from the American player.
Right. I agree, Mijito.
Yeah, and Pulisic and Chelsea were in the FA Cup final. Unfortunately, they lost to Leicester City. Brendan Rodgers has Leicester City doing really, really well over there.
Come on, Leicester. Come on.
But yeah, it's unfortunate news. Pulisic didn't start. He came in the 68th minute. And there's a little bit of controversy, actually. Chelsea actually scored the tie. They went to VAR, called it offside. From the angles that I can see on the camera, it's hard to say whether it was definitely offside or not. But yeah, either way, heartbreak. But I think we shouldn't take away from what they have done so far. And they have, you know, obviously the Champions League final ahead of them.
Yeah, and props to Leicester. There's a video of the fans reacting to their win. So he loves seeing the passion. And obviously, Leicester won the EPL a couple years ago, and nobody would have dreamed that they would have won it. So I'm glad that they didn't just completely fade away and they're still doing good things.
Yeah, the owner of Leicester actually snuck the trophy out of the stadium and he took it home for the night. So Brendan Rodgers was quoted saying, like, I don't know when it's coming back, but it's going to come back eventually. So, you know, the owner took it home, maybe wanted to drink some champagne out of it. I don't know what it is, but it's definitely, I mean, I can't imagine. I know people may say it's just the FA Cup, but a championship is a championship.
That's true. And obviously, the FA Cup it holds a higher level in EPL in England than I think any other country in the world. And it's kind of funny because now Chelsea and Leicester have to play each other in a regular EPL game.
Like, dude, doesn't that always happen? Like, I feel like this happens every year in the FA Cup or like Carabao or Champions League. Like right now, like for example, you know, Chelsea Man City met in the FA Cup. Okay, then they met in...
Well, they're going to be the Champions League final.
Well, they're supposed to be in the Champions League final, but they met as a regular, you know, league game. Yeah. And even, like, remember a couple years back when Man City and Arsenal met in the regular EPL, and then they met in the FA Cup, and then they met in the, like, Carabao Cup or something like that, too. It's pretty crazy.
It's weird because, like... Obviously the one that's in the Champions League is always going to be the one that you want to watch. So it sucks. It's like you beat the team in the regular league and then you lose to them in the big one, knockout round.
It comes like the coaches change their tactics. They try not to show too much. So it's kind of like who's going to win playing a reserve level of soccer kind of. And, you know, Arsenal's always in that gear, so they're the best at it.
Shut up.
But, all right. Going to England's second tier, the championship. It was the championship semifinal to kind of see who moved up, you know, fighting for the promotion. Daryl Dike, the U.S. men's international player, obviously on loan to Barnsley, was playing Swansea City. And, I mean, first of all, let's talk about how well he's doing with Barnsley. I mean, he's been tearing it up where they even put a high price tag on his name. I think they're saying they quoted him something for like $20 million. But even that wasn't enough. They fell 1-0 to Swansea City. I remember Philadelphia Union, you know, he's played in League One. He's played in all these high levels. Was watching the game and he tweeted saying, everyone who thinks the championship is still better than the MLS, I don't know what they're talking about, because this Barnsley versus Swansea looked like a volleyball game. Pretty much just mean long ball left and right. So I guess I really wanted to ask you a question, David. Is the championship still above the MLS? And if it is it far above, or is it kind of the same level now?
I think the top tier of MLS is better than the top tier of the championship, like the top 10 clubs. But I think when you look at the bottom tier, like the second half of the table, I think there's not a huge difference. I think you can have Colorado Rapids lose to Barnsley. You know,
Well, Barnsley, it's definitely top.
Or they're top tier. You're right. But I think when you look at, you know, Atlanta United, Seattle Sounders, I'll throw in LA Galaxy and LAFC for now. For now for LAFC, because, you know, whatever. I think they would beat a lot of the championship teams, and some of them wouldn't even be close, I believe.
Yeah, it's definitely. I used to coach a guy that came from the lower levels of England, and he would tell me, mate, we don't play football on the lower levels. We just kick the ball. He goes, we may talk about it. He goes, but we don't play football. We boot it up to our striker and we go on. Now, that may change. You know, he's left a couple years back, but I think it's definitely more comparable than it used to be. I think the biggest thing that the championship may still have over the MLS is obviously the budget. I think their depth on the bench is probably still a little bit better than the MLS. What do you think?
Yeah, it could be. I mean, think about it. They have Daryl DK over there. He left Orlando, you know, a top, you know, it's the number one league in America, obviously, to go to a championship. So he left for monetary reasons and the potential to play in the EPL, right?
Yeah, it's definitely good. So, I mean, unfortunately, Daryl DK lost, so they're not able to kind of fight for that promotion. But who knows, maybe he gets transferred. He is on loan, so it's interesting. Maybe they just send him back and then Orlando has to kind of sell him again, or I don't know. Soccer's a funny world.
We'll see. And really quick, just before we move on, Norwich and Watford are the ones that are moving to the EPL
next automatically year. Right?
Yep.
Norwich just kind of flirts back and forth, huh? They're like one season EPL, one season championship. So it's good. You know, they get to have different patches on their jersey each and every year.
Right.
But going on to the rest of the world, in Germany, Dortmund wins. I'm going to butcher it. The Polska Cup?
Yeah.
Something like that. But it's their version of the, you know, Open Cup or the FA Cup. So Dortmund obviously has an American on it. We wanted to keep it in the rest of the world. But Gio Reyna, champion in Germany.
But would he come in the 93rd minute?
Yeah, he came in to basically waste time. That's another like recent championship, because Zach Steffen was recently crowned EPL champion. So, I mean, that's something great, because that's the first American. I know he didn't play, you know, in the EPL often. I think he played like one game starting or two games when Ederson was out. But nonetheless, he's the second string and he's the first American to ever win the EPL. How do you feel about that?
It makes me proud that you can, you know, it's like a group project where you didn't do any of the work, but you still get the grade.
pretty much.
Nah, in all seriousness, that's awesome. And I think we're going to talk about this, I think, in the future, and it's not going to be an oddity. It's going to be a regular thing where you're going to see a lot more Americans lifting trophies for these big clubs around the world. So obviously it's all coming at us right now with so many players, just where they're at in the world and their potential. It's just a great time to be an American supporter. Now we just need to put it all together for the national team.
Yeah, looking forward to that. Speaking about another American, Sergiño's Des Barcelona lost over the weekend. They've had multiple times to, you know, claim their stake at the title, and they haven't been able to secure that. And now it all comes down to it comes down to one city, really, Madrid. Yeah. Atletico Madrid, Real Madrid, and they play decent level teams, and it all comes down to Atletico Madrid needing basically a win and they secure the title. But if they draw, it kind of all comes, and Madrid wins, it kind of all comes down to, you know, goal differential and all that nonsense.
Yeah, and Real has the head-to-head if it has to come to that. Real has to play Villarreal, and Atletico has to play Valladolid. So,
so I think Real Madrid has a tougher test of the two.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see what happens. But like Obi mentioned, it's almost like Barcelona didn't want to win it. they just drew and lost the games that they really should. So I don't know what kind of state Messi is in these. I think anybody's good as against mine. They're talking about that this should be all said and done before his contract even comes up due. But who knows, man? I personally, you know, we've talked about this, so we won't spend too much time on it. I want to see him go somewhere else, but I think he might just be comfortable with...
Yeah, I think he wants to move on, but he's kind of taking, obviously, what you should. Your whole family and the boys really love Barcelona. They want to stay there, so I think he'll stay there. If he moves on, I want him to go to the Man City, you know, reunite with Pep Guardiola. That would be awesome. But, I mean, they're probably one of the few clubs that can afford his wages, them and maybe PSG, so... I think realistically it's only between PSG and them. I know Juventus kind of sprinkled in there, but I think PSG and Man City are the realistic possibilities if he decides to leave.
Yeah, I agree with you. And just staying on Barcelona really quick, the U.S. The Barcelona women are, and the men. It's the first time a club has won in both, I guess, both genders.
Yeah, for the Champions League.
For the Champions League. So kudos to them.
Congratulations really cool. to Barcelona women's for winning the women's UEFA Champions League, and they won it in style 4-0 over Chelsea. So I mean, it was pretty good. And yeah, like David mentioned, FC Barcelona is the first club to win on both men's and women's.
Right. Yeah. Good job, guys.
Well done. A little round of applause.
Slow golf club. And just rounding out the rest of the leagues, we still got a battle in League 1. Where
can you say that again? League what?
League
I like it.
Yeah, sounds like you're about to hock a loogie. But Lille's got a point on PSG, and they both got one game left. Lille plays the Angers, and PSG plays Brest. I'm
pretty. You put those together, and it's Angie Brest, Anger Brest. You definitely. I don't. We're gonna butcher those names big time. So if anybody wants to send them some message and let us know how to pronounce those names.
Oh, well, last week I think because you had Nice and Brest, so they were like Nice Brest. Yeah, we're kids. So you know, guys never grow up.
That's for sure. But it's gonna be interesting to come down there. You know, PSG fired Thomas Tuchel because he was 1 point or a couple points outside of first early on in the season. So if they don't win the league and they came up short in the Champions League, does the president get fired? Did it look like an early, you know, mistake from him?
Who knows? Yeah.
Oh.
You don't?
He's a hater of big clubs.
Everyone is. Everybody wants to see the little guy win.
Yeah, especially his fiance loves to see the little guy win.
I'm like the engine that could.
But yeah, so it's all coming down. So La Liga and Ligue 1, as David said, is coming down to the final weekend, which is something you do want to see. You want to see it competitive. You don't want to see it, you know, a blowout like we saw in the Serie A.
You know, it's going to be interesting. We're going to have like a lot of TVs going this weekend and see what happens.
Yeah, and they're all playing at the same time. So it's definitely going to be a good weekend of soccer ahead of us.
And the last league, obviously this league's already done and dusted. We talked about Inter Milan winning the Serie A and breaking Juventus' streak of 9 straight championship. But Juventus, they're in 5th place right now, which is a Europa League spot for Italy. So they're 1 point back from Napoli, who's in 4th. And actually, AC Milan is on 76 points, too. So they're all playing for those UEFA Champions League spots, too. So it'll be interesting to see how, obviously, Juventus crashed out in the Champions League early on. And now you got them not winning the league for the first time, too. Not only that, they might not even be in the Champions League, all while having the greatest player of all time in Cristiano Ronaldo. What do you think about that?
I thought you meant Weston McKennie, the greatest player of all time.
Yeah. And Weston McKennie's going there too. They better not blame it on him. It's all on Ronaldo.
Yeah, or Pirlo. I definitely think it's interesting. You when you think of Juve, you think of, you know, the awe of Italian soccer. You know, obviously AC Milan and Milan are there, but you definitely don't see them below Napoli and below Atalanta. So it's definitely an interesting one. They do have the players. I just think Pirlo was over his head, in my opinion. I hope they're able to rescue a Champions League spot. If they're playing Europa, the CR7 leave.
You want them to get a spot for Ronaldo?
For McKennie, bro. Oh,
for McKennie, okay.
Come on.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
David's an American hater,
I have
too.
To balance my hatred, not hatred, but my balance of wanting to see the big club lose, but then also wanting the Americans succeed. So, like, I don't even really like, I don't like Chelsea, but I like Pulisic. So, yeah. it's a tough balance. And I'm like, oh, yeah, we have a U.S., we have an American player. Never mind.
Yeah, agreed. Well, we've talked about it for the last couple of weeks. Super League, more and more effects on the Super League. One other quick thing that has come out in English football is there's actually a government legislation going forward to try to block any Premier League clubs from attempting to abandon the country's football pyramid. And there's talks of kind of appointing an independent football regulator. In my opinion, I don't think that's really necessary because that's the whole point of the FA. You know, each country's FA is supposed to kind of, you know, do the checks and balances. If you come in and add another, like, independent person that's going to constantly be watching, I just don't think...
Like a separate
body that doesn't have to deal with soccer specifically. Like, they're not a soccer corporation, but they're going to look over soccer.
Oh, but they want to block, like the USL popping up pretty much, isn't it?
Yeah, they would try to block any other Super Leagues to pop up.
Oh, Super Leagues, okay.
And block any teams attempting to leave the football pyramid. Like, basically bring out an outside investigator to make sure clubs aren't doing this behind the scenes.
Oh, see, but when you say they're leaving the football pyramid, that's like if an MLS team wanted to go join USL, right?
No, because they would technically be within the same pyramid of the US soccer. Oh,
okay.
But going outside, because USL... is sanctioned by U.S. soccer. You know, NISA is sanctioned by U.S. soccer. Basically, what they're trying to stop is, like, me from going, all right, I have $100 million or whatever. I'm a millionaire, billionaire. I'm going to start my own league. Who cares what U.S. soccer says? I'm going to do everything on my own and kind of go away from using, you know, following FIFA, basically.
I don't know how I feel about that.
So that's why this legislation is trying to promote this independent football regulator to kind of monitor that.
But is that kind of like blocking competition?
I wouldn't say block competition. I just, like, the FA Cup is there to do that already. Like, that, not the FA Cup, the FA, like, you know, USSF is there to do that. So why do you need another independent organization to monitor that, basically? I don't think it's necessary.
I got you.
Yeah. And next, FIFA is to enforce the anti-gay chant of PUTO against the Mexican Football Federation. They said it was created 2 years ago, this rule, but, you know, they've kind of enforced it with fines, and then the whole year of COVID, Mexico didn't really play, so they didn't really have to enforce it. But basically, long story short, Baxter of the LA Times reports that the ref can halt the game if they're hearing the fans say it, tell the PA announcer to tell the fans to stop, then continue play. If they have to halt it a second time, the ref is able to send the players to the locker room. Now, if they come back out of play and it happens a third time, well, now Mexico forfeits the game. I'm using Mexico as an example because they're one of the ones that have been in the news about it. But, of course, anywhere now if they hear
one of the ones or the main one.
The main one. Actually, they said FIFA in the past, like, 4 years has fined something like 10-plus federations because of, like, anti-gay chants or gay anti-chants, whatever you want to call it. So it's interesting that they're going to kind of force even potential forfeits.
Yeah, and you guys know, we've talked about this before of what it actually means, but obviously it's 2021 now. It's not the end of the world if it goes by the wayside. But damn, you would hate for somebody to lose a game that has importance to it.
Because of their fans. And here's the thing is, I saw a video and I do agree. It says it doesn't matter what the word means. What matters is how they feel or how they feel attacked.
I got really offended because it was a video that popped up at the El Tráfico game where there was this man, very overweight with his shirt off, dancing in the middle of a smoke bomb. And it just... If you had, like, little kids, you had to cover their eyes. It was very embarrassing and disgusting. Do you know who that man was, OB?
No. Let me see. Are you sure it was a man? And who was that? But anyways, so yeah, be aware, Mexico fans out there, you know, just encourage everybody not to say that, because now it could actually cost the Mexican national team some games.
Yeah, just say Pluto
instead. But another news also, lastly, on international news, North Korea FA informs Asia, you know, Soccer Federation, that they're going to be withdrawing from the 2022 World Cup qualifying. This is an event that's already been taking place. They're actually currently sitting in fourth place in the qualifying. I think it's because of COVID scares, they said. And there's still matches left, so it's interesting how they're going to kind of go about that. This team just drops out, you know. Do the teams that lost to them, do they get the points, or what's going to happen?
I don't think anything, like, they just don't have to play them, and then they'll just do the next best teams. But that's pretty crazy. Do you remember that World Cup where North Korea qualified for the World Cup, and they sent Chinese people to be their supporters?
Oh, yeah, they paid a lot. So, yeah, I agree. I mean, that's crazy, but yeah, supposedly they withdrew. So they withdrew from the Olympics from Japan as well. So they're just kind of even more isolating themselves from the world.
Damn, that sucks.
Should we be worried?
It's hard. You never know what's going on in North Korea, but you also don't know a lot what's going on in China either.
I also don't know what's going on in my own city, so it's definitely interesting.
Yeah.
All right, moment of the week. David, tell us a stud.
Well, this is going to make Obi happy, and everybody loves see, you know, everybody, like, I think I said, everybody loves when a fat guy scores a touchdown, because you get a fat guy dance. We love seeing keepers score, because everybody likes to go crazy, and Alisson, goalkeeper for Liverpool, scored a game winner in a 94th minute, and that's awesome.
Yeah, he scored in, it keeps Liverpool's Champions League hopes alive, it keeps their trying to finish in the top four hopes alive. If they would have drew that game, they would have been done. So hats off to Alisson, goalkeeper union staying strong. But we also have another stud.
Yeah, Eric Torres. We just, you cannot ignore somebody getting a hat trick. And he got a hat trick for Man City. And Obi was happy because he's a Man City fan. And I was like, who the heck is this guy? Because it's not a name you normally see.
Yeah, it's a youngster with a lot of talent. So it's good. Man City, even though they already won and secured the EPL title, they won again 4-3. But give us the dud of the week.
The dud, we talked about it earlier. I mean, you can't go into any kind of final, especially the UEFA Champions League final, and lose 4-0. So this goes to the Chelsea Women's Club losing to Barcelona 4-0. Come on. And there was, you know,
specifically, the very first goal within the first minute, Chelsea's defense tries to clear. She clears it into her own defender, into her own teammate, and it goes into the top corner of the goal.
It was a
alto golazo.
Alto golazo. It was an amazing own goal. You're like, yeah. Man, upper 90, you can't even do that when you're trying to.
Yeah, exactly. But they earned the dud of the week. And I mean, yeah, it is what it is. But guys, we covered a lot. I enjoyed this podcast, especially just being side by side. It's been good. Hope you guys enjoyed it. As always, remember, reach out on Facebook, Sunday League's Finest. Reach out on Twitter. Email us at info@thesundayfootball.com. Follow us on Reddit. Create some conversations. Let's get going. We want to hear from you guys. And if we hear more interaction, we'll start doing a little bit of live.
Yep. Subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. Like, subscribe. You can give me 5 stars, give Obi 1, but we want to hear from you guys.
As always, thank you,
and stay sexy.
It's been real. It's been fun, but it hasn't been real fun. Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to check us out weekly. As always, if you have any questions, feel free to reach out via email or on any of our social media platforms. Bye. Have a good week.